Yo, can you hear me?
Yo, I can hear you.
How's it going, buddy?
Good, good.
Good shit.
How have you been?
Good, man. Just, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I miss you on Twitter. That's what I said.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I've just been fucking, I don't know, quarantining from social media.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm good, though, man. I mean, just
that's
same as always, really.
I think the last time I saw you on Twitter, oh my god, it was like some like cadre of like ironists going after you, if I recall. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it was probably right around quitting my job era.
Yeah, that's what it was. Oh, fuck, that's what it was.
Oh, Jesus. Shit, yeah. I remember that now.
That's funny shit, dude.
Oh, that was man. A saga.
Oh, yeah.
That was a saga.
Well, I feel like after Anna came on, they like,
oh, yeah,
all got a turn. Like COH got canceled too around then too, which is like, funny because COH is just shitposting. He's just a nice guy saying like nice things, and they just like got to take him down. So it's just like, I definitely think it was because of Anna. I think it was because
That's probably. I know that like there's like a dedicated group that just like follows her around, and specifically like I know that the.
Yeah,
the LolCal Fem Cells. Yeah. Yeah. I was mentioned a few times. One was when they were stalking Amy, and I think one person said, "Here's this gay little artwork above Amy." Like, fuck. Oh well, yeah. At least Kiwi Farms likes me.
Yeah,
I'm in the camp on threat. Oh fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I remember Twink Rev. I don't know. Yeah, those guys, they were telling us like, hey, after you get Anna on, like, just get ready. It's gonna get like, you think you're hated on now, you're gonna get like a different level. And I was like, and yeah, that came to fruition very quickly right after that. I forget what mine was. Well. Mine was something.
It was
the fake pedo thing or something.
Oh yeah. That was like a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fake pedo thing. Well, I don't know. Anna is a Russian spy, so maybe I'll avoid that.
Oh. Yeah.
Fuck.
The Ruski.
Oh my god.
So okay. So for today, yo, thanks again, man, for coming on like last second, because we were about to have somebody else, and then like they fell out, so like you came through like super clutch. And I remember you were in the comments on YouTube. You're like, yo, what the fuck? I'm Canada, bro. I'm a leaf, bro.
I know. I saw that, and I was like, oh, that stings. I feel so bad, dude.
It's funny. He said it the first episode with Bennett or whatever, and then there was another one. There was the
we have like two or three more, and it's just like. The actual Canadian that like that we get along with super well just like isn't coming on at all. The biggest Canadian story.
We circle around him, man. Like completely circumvent him. Just get Australian people like, hey, what do you think about Canada? What do you think?
Dude, we're asking fucking Orrin McIntyre about Canada before Gio.
This is at Trustworthy Slav.
This is at Incognito, COH.
CRK, black.com, build.
This is the Fed Post.
Well, I gave him info for that article you wrote, too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I did.
Yeah, it's good.
I know you said you had a piece coming out about the long form thing about.
I wanted to, yeah, it reached 30 pages. I wanted to give it to American Sun because I haven't been there in a long time, in like almost like half or so a year. Mm-hmm. But then Bill Marchant is doing another book specifically on Trudeau. So I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, I already have something. Here you go, bro. But I'll probably do like a follow-up just like critiquing the convoy thing because my article is really about what I call the Canada model. And it's sort of like it goes into like the difference between like the Nordic model and things like that. And it was funny because like as I was writing it, like more things were happening. And then like, it's right. Like, oh fuck, how am I gonna end this on a positive note? Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot like moving as we were talking about it. It was very weird talking about it, because it was like, I don't know how this is going to look in a week. Like, it was very...
Yeah, exactly. It was when you were in the moment, it was like, I guess nowadays it's like that times 1,000 times the whole world. I mean, the trucker thing was the whole world. But, oh, fuck, we should just save this for... I don't know. What did you play?
Gio, shut the fuck up right now. Yeah. I swear to God.
I'll splice this in. I'll definitely splice it in. I have a backup recorder going.
So okay.
We call that our entrapment recorder.
It's funny
that
when
you don't know about it. Yeah.
Our entrapment. Apparently, Ethan Ralph does that to all of his guests. It's true.
Is that actually true?
Yeah, it's very true. He recorded. His back when Ranbot was one of his co-hosts before Ranbot became less optical for Cozy TV, he recorded Ranbot crying his eyes out because his wife miscarried one of his children. And Ethan Ralph is like, see, Ran, don't fuck with me, because I'll release that recording to you looking like a pussy-ass bitch.
Damn.
And, that's why tonight is interesting, because I believe at the top of this hour... It is, I only care because Joel Davis is my friend, but it's Joel Davis versus Richard Spencer, but it's in-house on Keith Woods' Odyssey channel. So it is not, it's not the gun stream. So hopefully people can free themselves of the gun, to the yoke of the gun, as they say.
I never
liked Ethan Ralph. I mean, I know it's like competition, but whatever, but it's more of like, I don't know, like the fucking guy. Oh man, we're getting to, this is going to be a gossip story.
Oh, dude, we're being sassy bitches, dude. I don't see Keith Woods doing any sociopathic shit like that.
No, he's very upfront with everything. I mean,
to a fault, one might say.
to getting suspended on Twitter, fault. Yeah.
Oh man, that was. I think what that was. That was probably targeted by someone in Twitter, because he never had, like, the excuse they gave him was account manipulation, which means that you had another account, right? But he never, like, Joel Davis had another account years ago, but Keith Woods didn't have another account. Oh, by the way, guys, now that you're recording this, and I hope this gets recorded, if my voice sounds a bit funny, I've just recently learned that my mother has had the coof again, the oh my cum. So I may have the oh my cum there. Yeah, it's all bullshit. We had it in November 2020. We had the original, to quote, what used to be the intro for Sabu and ECW, homicidal, genocidal, suicidal, alpha variant in 2020, and we all survived. Okay, yeah. And she just has a cold now. I think my throat is a bit ticklish, so that is the oh my cum in my throat. So there you go.
Well, there's a lot to unpackage there.
A lot to unpack.
I'm glad we have a Wuhan test guinea pig on here with us. I'll say that much.
The genes, the oh my cum, went from the Chinaman to the self Ipnikan. So now I feel closer to my good friend Conscious Karkal now that I have a piece of South Africa in me. So that's.
This is just like rapid fire. This is just like an episode of Futurama. Like, I can't keep up with this.
After what happened this week, I am fired up. I'm sure we're going to talk about the Ukrainian war never happened. Which is, by the way, same as self-promotion, is a very good podcast/Twitter space me and Astro Flight Simulator did. Where we covered Baudrillard and Virilio and a little bit of Deleuze on the current, what would you call it? I call it Russian police intervention. Oh God! No.
Oh, I wonder where he stands on this issue.
By the way, did you watch the stream with? Oh my God! You must have. Did you? The recent BTR episode. That was a fun one.
No, what happened?
Oh my God. Oh,
let's hear more hot goss.
It was me and Scott Greer.
Oh yes. Oh,
okay. Finally got Scott Greer, versus Lev and two journalists. Well, actually one journalist, one professor. And it was like top to bottom. I knew it was going to happen because me and Lev were like warring on the TL and the DMs a week previous. But I highly recommend everyone go and watch it. No, actually, maybe.
What was the debate? What was
on the Ukraine? Yeah, on the current Ukraine conflict.
And so what's Greer's position?
I'm going to assume, and I say this lovingly, I like Lev. I'm going to assume Lev had the objectively wrong take
there was moments, like, I don't want to talk shit, but like, because it was like one of the few times I felt obligated to like, you know, like, listen, I can't do this. Like, I can't, there was some stuff that was like kind of like, you know, out there. But no, me and Scott were basically arguing the position of John Mearsheimer, which is that NATO essentially led through their puppet government.
Yep.
Zelensky led on the Ukrainian people. And my position is that, you know, I may make fun like memes of like based Putler, Hell Putler, to quote that. But I think that the real tragedy is the guy that they put in there is. And it's funny because his great spiritual inspiration, he actually said this, is Justin Trudeau. So this is personal to me. The guy they put in there is basically martyring his own population for PR. And every single death, this is a shoot, as they say in wrestling, every single death, in my opinion, is directly on the hands of NATO. It's directly on the hands of the Anglo-Americans. And they are the ones who have perpetrated this. Now, it's true that what Russia is doing is bad. I do see signs that they are trying to at least limit civilian casualties. But the rhetoric that has come out of this from people like Garry Kasparov and Lindsey Graham and others like that, they're going to all of a sudden like reenact Sarajevo circa 1994-5, that, you know, Putin is the next Slobodan Milosevic. I mean, it's just... Well, I have my thoughts about the Balkan War too. They're pretty controversial, but I think that, you know, this whole scenario that they're cooking up to me is just, I've never seen this before. And I think that to relate it to what we were going to talk about with the convoys, I think that the last 2 years has demonstrated this pattern of, well, actually, you could say that there was this one great thread on Twitter. The guy has locked his account, though, where he links it to Kony 2012, where you have this trend of the moralization of politics, as I like to call it, the secular moralization of politics, where every event becomes this spectacle. Let me actually read you this quote, one of my favorite quotes from Society of the Spectacle by Debord, where he says that... where is it here? The concept of the spectacle unifies and explains a great diversity of apparent phenomenon. The diversity and the contrasts are apparent appearances of a socially organized appearance, the general truth of which must itself be recognized. Consider in its own terms, the spectacle is affirmation of appearance, an affirmation of all human life, namely social life, as mere appearance. But the critique which reaches the truth of the spectacle exposes as visible a negation of life as a negation of life which has become visible. So the spectacle has to negate sort of true sentiments for pseudo sentiments. I think that is what it's required for it to grasp all of social life and all of human life in turn. So there is no difference. That's what Debord was saying, between the spectacle and the real. And I think that's what we're seeing. And this is what me and Astral were covering in our podcast is that, but then of course, when you deal with people who, you know, and to be fair to Lev, he's got family in Ukraine and he's very emotionally invested. I think that when people,
that's rough. That's a rough situation, right?
Yeah, very rough situation. I think that, and his like main gripe was about the Marvel, like people like on the right, particularly talking about like how this is like the Marvel MCU and this is a spectacle driven thing. But I think that to divorce the critique is, I think what he doesn't understand, or rather what people that are that's critiquing this don't understand, is that we're not saying that the tragedy on the ground is less severe. We're saying that these are the people that are trivializing it by saying that this, you know, corrupt actor oligarch at the top is somehow like Captain Marvel or whatever. Like it's
right.
The Hollywoodization of all life, which is another very interesting point that my good friend Real Z Ping on Twitter pointed out, is that, and I think I want to write something about, which is the fact that all of these corporations are withdrawing their wares from Russia. And it's almost like the American imperial spectacle machine that is a punishment in itself to like withdraw Pornhub and Hollywood and McDonald's.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's
the Coca-Cola
really
thing. Oh my god. That shit was amazing.
I thought the Coca-Cola thing, I thought they were going to jump on this because, as you know, they were instrumental in the narrative against apartheid and stuff. Not to say I'm justifying apartheid, obviously, but like they were instrumental in like the Live Aid concerts and the sort of the narrative. Like you could even go back to the 1980s, right? This type of activist politics of the corporations now are the ones that are driving a cultural spectacle against a certain regime. And now, like even like last point, I'm talking too much, but the last point is that it's very interesting given the history between Russia and Ukraine that the official account of the Ukrainian government chooses to depict Putler as Hitler, not Stalin, because people wouldn't either people you'd have like tankies that would be like, oh, based, or you would get people
right
that wouldn't get it, which is like kind of a shame. Not to justify what Hitler did, obviously, what the Austrian painter did, but it is funny. It would be more pertinent and more impactful given the history of Ukraine that was actually genocided by the Stalin regime instead of, you know, I mean, the Nazis, of course, Ukrainians. Well, let's not get into the history between Ukraine and Nazi Germany, but, you know.
Just, like, we don't even need to say anything. You're just walking yourself into pit traps.
You know this is all recorded, right?
Jeez.
You're like saying a second ago, like, I'm talking too much. I'm like, no, this is perfect. This is it's the exact perfect amount of talking.
Oh, there's COA. So
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell.
You were talking about tankies there? I'm kidding, by the way. That's not even accurate. That's
I just
not
took even... this tweet where...
What's going on here?
I'm so sorry.
I had this tweet in the beginning. Oh, by the way, I wanted to ask you, I loved when you guys had that one intro. Like literally after every BTR stream, it's almost like I eat a late dinner and it's like, I'm like, what am I going to listen to? Oh, new episode of Fed Post. Might as well put that on, right?
Oh man,
it's like an ambient. The the best one is I love when you guys are the intro. He's like, this is at Slavoj T. Yo, this shit's Goddard 37. What happened to Goddard 37? What happened?
So that account got banned. I think I told some Canadian broad to choke on syrup or something.
You have to give a content warning because we have a leaf on here.
No, I know.
God bless you, Reggie. The game of Leafs. Don't worry about
it. I mean, like, come over the coals. Come on.
I had this tweet about where I said that a brave Ukrainian child soldier was captured after dispatching. What was it? 500 Russian armored divisions, and it was the picture of the boy from Come and See. That is the picture. That is the Hollywood picture people have of the Ruskies and especially the Chechens. Which is funny how the left now is reviving anti-Muslim racism by saying, the Chechens are gonna like pull a Derwinger group and go all through fucking Ukraine. Like, Come and See. Like, that's the Hollywood reference, because I think a lot of these movie review channels that have like millions of views, that is like their biggest, the biggest like art house quote 80s or 70s, yes, 80s.
Everyone watched Come and See last year, myself included. Come and See. Everybody, God, there was one other one. Yeah,
more gratuitous version. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody cycles were synced. I mean, like, centralized media the way we have it now, it's just like everybody
is at summer camp.
Everybody's media consumption is like having their period at summer camp.
over and over again. First it was the trucker. The truckers are that's another tweet I had. It's like a Putler is hiring Canadian truckers to bring ICBMs to Ukraine, and it's got the fucking Adler cartoon with the fascism on the side of the truck. Yeah.
It's all tied together.
Oh my god.
Hey, listen, if I would be Poodler's top trucker.
Dude, if I was alive there, I would be his go-to guy.
Next guest, Sam Hyde on the Fed Post.
Oh my god, man. Please. Oh, man. I want to talk to the ghosts of Kiev.
Holy shit. Yeah. My friend actually thought it was literally Sam Hyde. He's like, no, it's actually Sam Hyde. Like the meme replaced reality.
To be honest, I feel like we all probably know at least a couple normies that actually thought that for at least a day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, this, yeah. Well, the first thing I was going to bring up was, I just wanted to, you know, to remind, I guess, that like the first time you were on, we were talking about those church burnings.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right. And then you guys ended up like vindicated about that. I didn't know anything about it at the time. Mm-hmm. I still don't know shit about it, but COH.
Were we vindicated? I haven't
COH
even
COH knows the details about that. Like, if they found out that they were like they dug it up and they didn't find any bodies or something, right?
Yeah.
Is that
what happened? They just did a scan.
We talked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was right. There were headstones in a lot of them. It's just that because the churches, which I mean, not going to lie, they probably deserved it. Like as a Catholic myself, like the churches were bankrupt because of the sexual harassment things. And a lot of the graves did have gravestones. They weren't maintained because the communities were far away. Like, I mean, not to justify what they did, obviously, like to take away children from their homes. Like, I think to me, the residential school thing, I mean, if they wanted to truly have a transparent system, they could have had these schools like actually in the reservations. But I think like the government at the time, like it's funny, it's ironic enough because like they were like the quote unquote liberals at the time. Like they thought that they were the do-gooders, like, you know, quote unquote civilizing these savages. Like that, but that was a much older form of liberalism, I think, like that, that people like, Paul Godfrey talk about. Like it was like that was the white man's burden form of liberalism, not right. You know, but now right. It's viewed as monstrous and fascistic, and a lot of monstrous things did happen, obviously, but this whole narrative that like, and it's always the Catholic Church, not the like the Anglican Church that was prominent in Anglophone Canada, that like the Catholic Church were like literally bulldozing indigenous children in pits or whatever like that. I think when people use language like mass graves, that is immediately they know that that's the signal.
Incendiary.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the stuff when Slav talks about like Tulsa or whatever. It's like, you know, it's like things that happened, like things were bad already. And then they have to like ratchet it up. They have to like add an extra spice to it. They have to like turn maximalize like,
it's sequel culture. It's sequel culture. Yeah. You have to have all the same gameplay mechanics, but you need to kind of iteratively, they need to be bigger. You need to have some of the returning themes and characters. But yeah, the Tulsa open world game map is actually twice as big.
The
size of Skyrim.
The Tulsa thing. Yeah. Or my favorite one, the Vietnamese fisherman. Do you remember that?
No idea.
The one where this journalist said, my grandfather killed 30 Vietnamese fishermen in America and nobody cared. Remember that one?
Holy shit.
No.
Wait, this is a journalist? Out for being a murderer?
This is what 25-year-old columnists in like Brooklyn do to their grandparents' generation.
This was a big story. This was a big story. Like, I think like in the middle of 2021, this journalist, I think probably New York Journalist, said that her grandfather, not in Vietnam, in America, was living in the South. Of course, it has to be the South. Do you remember when the boat people from Vietnam came after Saigon fell, right? She said that her grandfather took his machine gun, quote unquote, and just massacred 30 Vietnamese fishermen, 30 fishermen in American shores, and it was covered up by the town, and nobody did anything in the state. I don't know, the State Department, I guess, didn't exist at the time. So I'm not joking. You can look this up. This is crazy. Like, literally, oh, man. But
I mean, I don't know. It's just a trend in general. I mean, it feels like the same thing with the COVID thing and the climate thing where, I've said this a million times, but it's like things are real, like, you know, slavery happened, you know, these like Native Americans dying, that shit happened, obviously. But then they always got to like
not get ahead of ourselves here. I'm kidding, of course.
But they always got to like ratchet it up to like, there is a COVID thing. There is a flu. It's actually like, the flu kills people. That's serious. And it's, you know, the flu strain's been getting worse every year. And they have to ratchet it up to like doomsday variant. You know, they have to like put all this extra shit in it. That's like, you know. It's just the nature of the thing. They have to exaggerate everything.
Well, like, dude, I know that like I was just making the joke about like sequel culture and everything, but like it literally is. It's like
that's a great analogy.
It's like some fucking McLuhan shit, dude. It literally is. It's literally like
no, that's true. It's true.
Yeah, like well, and it makes me think of like I remember like when I watched. Like 12 Years a Slave, and then you get like, Get Out, and these fucking these like woke movies that, well, I guess Get Out doesn't really count, but like these like it was like this new thing in like the mid 2010s where they started presenting like historical period pieces about slavery as like horror genre pieces, right? They're like slasher films, right? And like that's the new blaxploitation, and. And so now it's like this upping the ante, everything, every little retrospective needs to kind of conform to this like genre, of like slavery in the American, like the antebellum South was a fucking like giallo slasher film.
It was the film Shallow.
Oh, by the way, that was the other movie is everyone watched. 2 years ago, everyone watched Come and See and Sallow.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Sallow, and again, I'm making fun of myself here, but yeah,
I haven't seen Sallow. I saw Come and See. Yeah,
I think the Come and They're See fits good. Into that. They both have. I watched Sallow like a long time ago when you could still watch it on YouTube. I think you could still watch it on YouTube, ironically enough. But I think that fits in with the. And no doubt the Derwinger group probably like they were that bad, if not worse in real life. But I think that that is the narrative formation going on is that now lessons from history don't have a groundedness within how things actually manifested. Now it has to be narrativized into a horror film. Like that is the sort of ripe content because metaphysical horror. It's funny, like a lot of people, my friend Tyler Hamilton talks about this Prudentialist. He had a great video recently on analog horror. It seems that horror has lost its capacity for directly like metaphysical concepts. Like now it seems to be either body horror or historical genres because it serves a political agenda becoming a horror film.
Yes.
And that's why Come and See, I think, had a great rebirth because you have like a lot of these like, what would you say, like video game and movie channels like Jacob Geller. But like, I mean, people like that, other people that are more sophisticated, I think, that have this like very like distinct, like, how would you pull it? Like Reddit sad boy theory cell type of physiognomy going on. And I think... like verbal and intellectual physiognomy going on. So I think now we're going to, and it's funny, it relates to the Ukrainian thing because they did this, they formed the narrative through Hollywood in the preceding years in the early 2000s after the Balkan Wars, where you have films, the one with Owen Wilson, you have the Angelina Jolie indie film that she funded, you have other ones.
Behind Enemy Lines was with Owen Wilson, right?
Yeah. You have other ones where basically the framework is like Christian Serbia, always bad. And they did genocide. They had rape camps, all that stuff. But the narrative was like they're metaphysically evil on a level that only people without a metaphysics can understand. Like same with the Hitler thing. It's like Hitler becomes the devil now. It's like Slobodan and Serbia, they're all bad. They're evil. And of course, you know, Serbia is the only country with demonstrations that are pro-Russian, and all of the neighbors like Bosnia and Kosovo and so forth, they have demonstrations supporting Ukraine. So that is further this narrative. I think that what they're going to do is they're trying to meme a Balkans war do electric boogaloo where now Russia is Serbia times 1,000 and Putin is Slobodan times 1,000. That's my opinion. I think that they're trying to pull this stunt where it's just like the Angelina Jolie film. It's like, oh my God, they're butchering those poor innocent Muslims. I mean, you know what I mean? I think that's probably the narrative. Instead, now they have to do it where they have to import the language of woke Western Americanized language policing because there's such a little like ethnic Ukrainians and ethnic Russians are basically the same people, right? So they have to come up with socially constructed fictions to separate them, like the whole language around it's no longer Kiev, it's Kyiv, it's no longer the Ukraine, it's Ukraine.
I mean, so, how much do you think of that Kiev thing is literally just like making it so that search engine results are just different now. But yeah,
that
I
could
mean,
be it.
The yeah. whole, I mean, this is, it's, this is a learning moment just about like the mechanics of neocolonialism in like a lot of ways, 100%. Yeah. And like, I have a hard time like separating that from just any of the woke speak at all anymore.
Oh yeah.
I loved the, what was the, I mean, it's lazy, but the post the other day of some fucking statue in the Ukraine holding the fucking rainbow flag, you know, and it's like, there it is, right? That's the whole yeah. thing. It's the whole thing right there.
Which is another funny thing too, is how come, like how our favorite people and bread tube, like Vaush, how come they haven't had their Spanish Republican moment? Like Orwell and Hemingway, Orwell had like a bullet graze his neck. And so I wonder if they're going to deploy the bread tube battalion soon, and maybe Vaush could get he'll get along well with us.
Oh no, zero chance, dude. Vaush is having a fucking field day recently.
That's Nazbol United right there.
Oh the god.
the Nazis. Yo, that whole like them putting lard on the bullets and all that, and like the libs, like I mean, it's like a easy hypocrisy thing. It's like, oh, they're like siding with the neo-Nazis in Ukraine. I know you're, look, Keith is off of Twitter, and like I know you still talk to him, right?
Not that much. I mean, I follow his Telegram, but I talk to Joel more, obviously. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm not on Telegram. I wonder what his take is of the whole thing, because there were some white Whig Nats that were like I don't know what their stance is on it. It's kind of like conflicted. I can't really tell.
Yeah, there are some, like, I think they're probably in the minority, that there are some who think that, like, you know, the Ukraine is like the based Natsoc nationalism fighting against the like other version of global homo, like which is Russian multiculturalism. But I think there are people who who's the one guy, Frody, has a good take where it's really like, it's similar to the Scott Greer take, where it's, we shouldn't really get involved because it doesn't concern us. But also it's like, you know, NATO basically pushed these people to do this. But at the same time, Russia isn't like this based in red pilled haven of like trad values. They still have a lot of problems. They have a lot of problems with their demographics, obviously. But I think that in contemplating writing something on this, there is a marketable difference between quote unquote Russian multiculturalism and what I would say the Canada model is, because in Russia, those people have a lot of integrated history with each other. And a lot of them are basically, they come from at least some understanding. And of course, Russia is like, you know, number one, like they make sure that it's very much an imperial, like Roman British model of multiculturalism. Whereas in Canada, it is the, you know, postmodern, like neoliberal economic zone version, like the post-national country, blah, blah, blah. And so a lot of right wingers are very crossed about this. Although I do see that it's very interesting to see a lot of the contrarian posting going on. I remember that BAP got into criticism by some people where he's like, you know, you're a based epic step warrior, but you don't want to go and fight against the Ruskies, or like... I think the problem is it's not like the love of war as an act in itself. It's more of like, do you really want to like go on and fight in a war that really strategically doesn't have a lot of advantage, like just as a selfish, self-interested thing, doesn't really have a lot of interest for us as North Americans. And do you really want to like potentially spark like the end of humanity with World War III to do it? Which is like really funny and crazy how a lot of people who are in positions of power are essentially gambling with the lives of millions upon millions, if not billions of people, by warmongering, which is like, I can't understand it. I can't understand. And now that the Zelensky himself is like basically having a fit where he's realizing what it's like to be allies with NATO, saying like, listen, we can't do it. Like the no fly zone, if they shoot down Russian planes, like what do you expect? You're gonna shoot down Russian planes? Like, you know, what, that's basically an act of war. And so it's very telling how this whole thing is demonstrating, which I mean, it's not just my take, it's also other people's, that this thing is the real, quote unquote, in against the virtual, and the real might end up winning. And I think when Russia does declare victory, because there is really no strategic or logical way that the Ukrainians can fight them off. I mean, maybe they can have like a bloody insurgency, but I think that the real will march forward while the virtual plays its games, if you will. I mean, I don't really see, I think it's very interesting how this is framed. It's very interesting how people are suddenly interested in thinkers like Jean Baudrillard now, because it's so pertinent to like what we're experiencing. And now that this is a truly social media, like, I mean, you could say the Arab Springs or whatever, or even Iraq and Afghanistan, but notice how the last 10 years of Iraq and Afghanistan, nobody seemed to care, right? Except if you, like, I mean, went to Live Leaks or wherever to find footage. But it seems that this is truly one of the real, like, quote unquote, wars of the social media age. And, yeah. So,
well, and even just like in how like Zelensky has been. Because again, I mean, I'm fairly out of the loop right now. I have been fairly out of the loop, but I've been kind of trying to key into stuff a little bit more recently. And like, it kind of just seems like stuff coming out of Ukraine is just like the Ukrainian government just like trying and failing to have like four false flag PSYOP events in a row and just like, and just not sticking the landing at all. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, it seems like it does. I agree. It seems like there's like a much more of an emphasis like on virtual here. I mean,
optics,
I don't even know.
Optics battle. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, go ahead.
I saw some of those Ukraine like false flag things like those. It's hard for me to tell, like, you know, we're outside of things. But yeah, I saw people were like debunking like, oh, this photo of this person getting blasted is from like years ago. It's not from now. That's just like the modern age we're in, you know, everything that happens, like there are a bunch of COVID protests photos and then people would be like, that photo is actually from 2012 from a different thing. Like it's with the deluge and everything. It's hard to tell, like it's hard to sift through things because everybody's just like, you know, especially parody. People do parody and shit. It's really like it's very hard now to tell what's actually like.
Well, yeah, that's why you got your friends at the New York Times and the Washington Post. They're telling you don't need to sift through all of it,
right?
Because they look through all the primary sources first, so you can just go straight to them. Right. And they've already made it down. They've whittled it down for your little rat brain to understand. They're gonna spoon feed it to you, and it's all good. You don't think about nothing.
A little pellet sized.
Yeah. Primary sources like the FBI and the CIA.
That was like that part in The Sopranos with Meadow where Tony was when she had her bike stolen, and Tony's like, it's a fact that blacks are more likely to rob your bike than anyone else. Meadow's like, now you trust the FBI?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Tony's talking about 1352 and all this shit.
We need to have the 1352 project, right?
Holy shit. Oh boy, Gio's locked and loaded today.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah, I mean,
in other racist news today.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess it's funny that like the libs are like on the side of some of the neo-Nazi faction in Ukraine, and like, you know, in any other circumstance, they would be like, you know, guilt by association, guilt by like 2 degrees of separation would do you in.
Yeah,
but Facebook
is allowing like the. I don't know what it is, but there was some Ukrainian group that was like previously banned from Facebook because they have been posting like stuff that went against their policy for hate vis-a-vis like Nazi posting or whatever. But then they were like, actually, we're going to let them back on because now they're going to fight the Russians. So it's good. So they just reversed their policy. And then like Wish and Amazon are selling like Azov Battalion shirts online.
No way.
That's awesome. I never would have gotten like a Cuomo sexual shirt or something like that. But like, I'm actually genuinely tempted to buy one of those.
Azov Battalion.
Holy fuck. You can't even buy half of the Mystery Grove Press catalog on Amazon, but you can buy an Azov Battalion shirt. Oh my God. No, it's funny how I was, one of the most surreal experiences I've ever had was trying to convince Lev that, the Azov Battalion are actual neo-Nazis, because he's like, well, you know, they're given money by a you know what, right? dreidel, you know, like for YouTube. So I'm like,
you
no,
can't
I'm
bring
not
that up to life. You got to be careful with that.
Yeah. No, but he was showing me evidence of this, and it's true. They are funded by a tiny hat handler, right?
I just really fast, and I'm not saying it's not warranted or anything like that, but I love like one of the biggest differences between talking to leftists versus like right-wing people is just when it comes to just like saying the word Jewish. The right-wing person always just does like a sigh and like a big pause. It just makes it so much worse.
It's like, you know what I'm talking about?
It's the like really fast before I take this next step. Does anyone have something they can lean on or sit down? I'm about to hit you with something important.
People with a heart condition and pregnant women in the room, please leave.
Does anyone here have a comorbidity?
I got a comorbidity because I eat them cannolis. I eat too many of them. No, anyways.
That's my favorite Italian geo catchphrase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. No, but yeah, it's funny how there is that immediate, like, it's almost like this, like you were saying, the censorship is worse, right? It's like you're doing like the like 2015 like TRS Maraku, like triple print, like, you know them. Like, if you could put the sound effect on my voice while you're editing, that would be amazing. Them.
CRK, get on that, please. Yep. I'm gonna mark this part.
It's funny because his argument during the live stream was that because they're funded by one of them, that they're not actual, like, they're not real neo-Nazis. They're just nationalists. I go, Lev, they're throwing up Romans. They have the fucking swastika in the background. It's like, well, oh, we got a Roman thrown up here.
Yeah.
See, nobody cares.
right. Well, I don't know. See, the way I think of it is like Zelensky, like he needs them, right? He just needs them.
Oh, he's their most effective division, literally.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he strictly just needs them as like a strategic thing. Like, you know, and is he a neo-Nazi? No, obviously not. But
his politics are closer to Justin Trudeau than anyone else. It's true.
Right, yeah. Right. He's just a puppet, right? That's what Slav was saying. It's like, yeah. So it's like, you know, and you know, I just feel like, you know, it's and the libs siding, like being on the same side, like all this stuff. It just kind of highlights why it's like the ideologies aren't really like that important. Like people, you know what I mean? It's all like, it's just the interest. They just have an interest for things align. And people will drop their ideological like alignments and their principles in a heartbeat. They'll drop
that
shit.
Or they'll have some elaborate reach around to justify it, like the NASPOL thing.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Well, it's the virtual thing, right? Like it's... Nobody gives a shit that there's Nazis involved here.
No,
like nobody gives a fuck at all. I don't give a fuck. I have no opinion on it. It's just like, it's the holy grail. It's like the MacGuffin of like of political economy in like in this mental illness that is online discourse. And so like the set, like, dude, you're panning for gold on the side of the fucking river and you find just a big old fat nugget. And that nugget is just like someone doing the heil, you know?
It's got a swastika on it engraved into it.
Yeah, some cuck working for CNN being like, hey, what's that patch on your shoulder? And then like all these dissidents just soy facing because they're like, because their opponent has like really stepped in at this time.
That was like Louis finding the footage of Beardsoy throwing up the Roman. That was Do you watch that? The Fuentes oh, this is just more drama, but did you watch the Louis Theroux doc on Nick Fuentes?
No, but I want to. How was it? Was it just absolute trash?
Oh, it was the usual stuff. A lot of people, like, to me, like, there's people that say that Nick came out of it good. It's like, no way he came out of it good. Like, it's funny how they mostly focused, like, the first half, like, not even the first half was just on Nick Fuentes himself, but the second half was about Beardson and fucking Baked Alaska. And they didn't even bring out, like, the worst of the Baked Alaska.
Do they play it to, like, the N-word on loop in the fucking convenience?
That was one of them, but they didn't mention, like, the macing or like the schizophrenic girl or nothing, none of the deep lore. Like even Beardson, yeah. They did do one segment with our good friend Brittany Venti where which is like, let's face, like that is truly morally reprehensible. Like the clip where Beardson said that he was going to you know what to Brittany violently.
Right.
And but it's funny because like Brittany, she looked really good in this one because like, you know, she wasn't even like freaking out. She was just like, you know, that's terrible, right? But like it was a very surreal thing. It just demonstrates that when online politics bleeds into like the mainstream, none of it can be good.
You're not going to win entering into that arena. And it's weird to me that even needs to be said.
Well, that's like what happened recently with the AFPAC thing where you had the it seems that leftoids, they have to like do this thing where they have to repeat Sarah Palin over and over again for some reason. Who's the one chick's name? The airhead, the blonde.
Marjorie.
Marjorie. Yeah, Marjorie. Yeah, Marjorie. Marjorie.
Yeah, the shit-throwing chimp.
Where she? Oh, she did the thing. Yeah, with the state of the Ukraine. Sorry, State of the Union. That Biden did. She was her and the Joe Arpaio guy were doing AFPAC. I think it's probably like Milo is the one that orchestrated this. Where the message was so off because they were talking like the typical Republican like donor level speech of, you know, I'm not a real racist, blah blah blah. Joe Arpaio's like, I have mixed race grandchildren, and like they're getting booed off the stage. So I think like no, I'm serious, this happened. No, because Joe Arpaio right in the middle, he said, you know, people call me racist, but, and they're all like, yay. He's like, no, you shouldn't cheer for that. Like, literally. I think like,
he's like looking at the note card in his hand and he's like crossing out, like crossing out, bringing my trans grandchild up on stage in 5 minutes.
Yeah, Dems are the real race. So basically it was Dems the real racist. Of course, Marjorie had to denounce AFPAC, saying like, I didn't know who Nick Fuentes was, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's really evident of the sort of threading the needle that, I guess Fuentes became a symbol of this, but even like the alt-right before him, where it's like you can't have the system of quote-unquote acceptability within mainstream politics, especially in America, and like try to do something spicier or try to do something that is like explicitly racialist or whatever. I think like there's a disconnect. And again, like I'm tempering this because as people know, I'm not the biggest fan of Nick Fuentes, but I think that in some ways that's sort of there's a lot of like blockages to political discourse on the mainstream level that are there for a reason, that are there to like explicitly channel people in certain ways. And as much as like, either like if you're on the political right and you want to break out of that and you want to have an explicitly, you know, blood and soil type of politics, or if you're on the political left and you want to have, I don't know, like, I guess like more economic socialism, like Bernie bro stuff. I think like there's a certain sort of level of stopgapage to the neoliberal order that tests resistances and prevents them from cropping up. But I mean, other than that, I mean, having like mainstream politicians engage in like people that are like video game streamers that like, you know, say gamer words on DLive or whatever, it's just like it's not gonna work. There's too much of a dichotomy there. I don't know. And I think like in the future, probably there probably like could be a place for that type of politics. But I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, I guess there's no like real way around politics nowadays. It seems that the political sphere has been so territorialized by enemies to all of us that, I mean, again, I'm not saying that there's a lot of good people in America first. I'm just saying that for now, the political system is the way it is. And there's a sort of conscious effort to police any discourse outside of the norm. And I think like the Ukraine thing is another example, like COVID, like the truckers. I mean, especially the truckers, you have like people like there are journalists in Canada at the top, like fucking Andrew Coyne or whoever, that they were outright calling for persecution of like every single person that supported the convoy. And it's just like they don't view it as this is a state of exception in like the Smithian sense. They view it as like this is politics the way it is, and you're transgressing against the perfect order of things. And the people that transgress against the logical conclusion of the sort of like end of history liberalism are people that are insane and barbaric, and they're similar to ISIS or whatever. Like they are people who don't get the programming. And it's like, I feel like that's why Trudeau can say things like he did recently, where he was saying, I see a rise in authoritarianism throughout the world. It's like, well, you know, they don't see it that way. And I think people the FPAC is another example of that, where sort of the mainstream doesn't see that there are many people that are disenfranchised with the way things are. Not to disagree or agree, I'm just saying like in general. And to sort of combine those different worlds is such a huge discursive lacuna there that they, you know, it's like, yeah, like mainstream Republican donor class politicians at AFPAC just doesn't seem like, it seems like almost like a Salvador Dali painting in terms of politics, you know.
I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, I think like you're saying, I mean, I think you need like stages in the hopper that translate this for wider audiences. And like you're saying, just talking about like there is a lot of sentiment outside of like the liberal consensus and like within these systems. But I think that because like so many of the average people that are like, are having those feelings and thinking that way, but they don't have the vocabulary to articulate right. that in my mind. Most people don't even have a conception of like liberalism. Right. And so they're having illiberal sentiment in response to what's going on. And you can just, you know, you can always just, yeah, just go to the usual liberal hegemonic playbook and just say like these are dangerous authoritarian movements sprouting up, and then like you get the people that like are holding these very sentiments to turn against it, because they don't have the, I don't even know if I'm making sense here, but like they don't have the vocabulary to articulate what's actually happening in the first place. It's a fucking horrible nightmare. I also have to like wonder if like, yeah, like having these people that are like you know, the representatives in the mainstream circuits and everything, then interfacing with like more dissident elements from the online, I mean one issue with that just is that like part of online, a huge part of online culture is just like being transgressive. And like, yeah. It's obviously becoming part of like mainstream normie politics too. Cause like, you know, I mean, they might sound different, but like Marjorie Taylor Greene doing all of her just like retardation is transgressive. Yeah. Honestly, in the same way that like fucking AOC being like a cunt boss doing her makeup on camera and
shit like that. And the like book about her beauty. Yeah,
there is like a transgressive streak that's running through it. It's just that like the normie transgressive streak going through politics is like for our boomer parents who are like paying a fucking mortgage, right. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
As opposed to like the transgression going on with like America First and shit like that is like, you know, it's for a more refined palate, we'll just say, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
I think America First, their problem is that they have like the optics thing, but that really doesn't come about when you're I've noticed this with myself having to like navigate online politics where you're trying to be authentic and you're trying to be as real as you can, but there are groups that you inevitably have to appease in order to operate in the online sphere. But the problem is that comes at a cost of having zero mainstream acceptability.
Yep.
Like I've talked with people who are like, oh no, like white nationalists. Like I don't really care. Like I have a lot of those, even me right now, I'm negotiating how much I could say without pissing the least amount of people off.
This is something we've talked about.
We've talked about this.
Well, before. An example we've talked about on the show is just like you join the Discord server, you immediately really need to say the N-word, you know, that kind of thing of like, hey, like, we're all a little irradiated here, and you need to take a little bit of that on too.
Like, I mean, like, I remember going into an argument on Telegram with someone, not going to name whom, but this is a pretty popular person in these spheres, about the convoy and how, like, the convoy is just a distraction. It's not in white interest. It's just controlled by Zog because Ezra Levant is the head of it. And it's like, well, not that I know the history of Ezra Levant. I know that he is basically probably connected or whatever. Like, I think the fact that he's created all these e-celebs that eventually go to America, like, I know. I'm not defending Ezra. I'm just saying that in this particular moment, as a Canadian, it's like any source of hope you can get, you take it, right? Like, so I can ignore, like, I've known about Ezra Levant since, like, I was, younger, since, like, 2010, right? I used to watch him on this other show with this guy who made a dramatic term. It was called The Michael Corrin Show. And Michael Corrin has since did, like, a 180 from his, like, literal trad-cath social conservatism to being this, like, woke Anglican minister thing. Very
talk
sad.
Talk about a downgrade.
I worshipped this guy when I was a kid, but then he did this, around 2015, he did this, like, 180. Like, literally within a span of a month, he, like, just flipped, right? So I know the history of Ezra. I know, like, his past and how he screwed over people and how he's, like, probably, you know, has some skeletons in the closet. But at the same time, when you're in this struggle for, like, and again, my criticism is this, of course, like, the rights-based thing is kind of nonsensical, but at the same time, that's where most normal people are at who support the truckers, is that they view things through my freedoms, right? So
yes.
And that was another argument I got into with people on the online right, is that, like, I can put past, like, the intellectual critique of it, because on the ground, again, you take whatever you can get. And if most people, you know,
COVID stuff, like, this is perfectly all put, just because, like, in my mind, with all of the discussions we've been having the last year and everything, it feels like COVID has become, like, the very definition in the political of just, like, beggars can't be choosers, dude. Like, it's bizarre that, like, we're kind of in the camp of, like, of what's basically the liberal position in this case, but again, it's just like, this is, there is something to be said for it's like the Mike Tyson thing of just, like, you have a plan until you get punched in the face, dude. Like, I have all these grand principles and everything in the abstract, but, like, I'm also, like, being actively punched in the face by the state. I want to address that.
I can't leave. I mean, that I just recently gained the right to sit in a Tim Hortons now. But I think, like Keith Woods had a good take where there is a non-liberal, there is a sort of a post-liberal critique of the biosecurity theater state. And we can get into it if you want, but I just think that for the immediacy, the vast majority, average working class people that supported the truckers, they view things as my charter of rights and freedoms, and I want to live without, you know, being impeached on and things of that, like, you know, don't tread on me. And yeah, a lot of it's probably because we don't really have conservative media in Canada, quote unquote. We have, like, Rebel News and the Post Millennial and a few others, but, like, even the National Post has a bunch of libbies in it. So a lot of it does come from an American right-wing, like, popular, but not right-wing even necessarily, but, like, you know, American normie con, like, Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, God rest his soul, type of thinking, right? Like, that's where the conception of it when you're Canadian, because when you're Canadian, the only outlet you have if you're, like, a conservative or whatever is basically American sources. And all the people that we had that came from Rebel Media, they went to Canada. I'm sorry, they went to America from Canada. So they appeal, like, any Canadian, even myself being a quote-unquote person on the right in Canada, like, the content inevitably has to skew towards appeasing an American audience, because that's where people are. Like, in Canada, it's very difficult to have a grasp on any dissident thought, let alone, because even the dissidents, like, it's just, I remember seeing, like, the one tweet from the Communist Party of Canada going against the on the one tweet, the one, they used to be popular back in the day, like, going against the truckers, but then they realized that they could use this to smash whatever union organizing is left in Canada. So, like, oh man, oh shit, like, what do we do? Yeah. Oh,
fuck him, dude. I'm just like shaking my head right now, being reminded of this.
And also plays the Ukrainian thing too, because now you have people that are belittling the convoys, because now it's like, you know, this is the real quote unquote freedom fight, and like the masks, yeah, the masks aren't that big of a deal anymore. It's like,
yeah, it's like, yeah. They'll be like, man, can you imagine that there were people on our streets protesting over having to wear a piece of cloth over their face, and now there's people who are actually having to fight for their lives, for their freedom. Yes. And it's selfish, like, check yourself.
The selfish, entitled American argument.
Yeah, bro. Yes. Fuck that shit. I don't even want to hear it. I don't even have anything to do with Ukraine, bro. Stop trying to make me care about it.
That, I think, is probably the Giga Chad position. Is, I listen, I literally don't care.
You say Giga Chad?
Giga Chad. Giga. Sorry. Giga. I know.
Bro, sometimes you say shit with a different, well, like, with different letters, and I'm like, is that some stylistic shit? I'm like, yeah,
Canadian? You're just like, you're like, it's like, he's like us, but like, there's something a little bit just not there. Like, is there curry in this? Is there, I don't
know. It's like us, but different. Yeah.
I say Z, though, instead of Z. That would be like kind of too far.
Z, like, is just, it's like, I'm sorry, I have to kill you if that happens.
Yeah, to face the wall.
Combat Zone Wrestling, CZW. The whole fan's chanting it, CZW. As you like go through a fucking flaming table with light tubes on. Oh boy.
But yeah,
I mean, everything's pro wrestling now. Everything is pro wrestling. Oh, sorry.
It really is. No, it really is. Yeah. And you know, we got the heel, Putin's the heel and all that. And you know, it's just, I mean, I didn't see that take. That is a very predictable take, that they'd be like, oh, you know, people have to deal with actual wars and you're upset about masks or whatever. And look, I mean, personally, I don't know. To me, the masks were never the number one thing. That was never the number one thing. The number one thing is the fuck, you know, lockdowns and you know, vax passports. That's like, that's fucking insane shit. Like, that's number one to me. And I mean, and that's part of the whole wealth transfer thing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Masks, I mean, masks suck. I don't like masks. I mean, but nobody's in the street protesting about masks. Nobody's out there like, that's never happened. Nobody's been out in the streets like, just for masks. Like, that never happened.
You know, well, they have probably like some small ones, but not in like the ones that are meaningful, you know, that are drawing attention and actually seem to represent larger complaints, like the trucker convoy and stuff. That's not just about masks.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly
what they want to paint it out to be, though.
Exactly. That's how what they've always done. And, you know, and it's funny, too, because SNL is making fun of masks now. They're saying that masks are a joke. So it's like,
of course,
it's just, it looks even more like,
fine, it's good now. It's good.
Yeah. For now, yeah. But I mean, yeah, the whole like the WWE thing, like, yeah, I mean, this, you know, it's just, yeah, I don't like how they're just making this moralization thing about this Putin thing. And I mean, I don't mean to sound cold or whatever, but like, it's kind of like when people talk about like America's like genocide history or whatever. I'm not justifying any of it. I'm just saying, like, you got to think, like, the majority of world history is just a lot of insane violent shit. That's the majority of it. Like, that's most of it. So like, to sort of like look at any of it and be like, oh my god, like, this is really, you know, like a glove to mouth, a white glove to mouth about it, it's just a joke. Because it's like, bro, you know, whatever Putin's doing, we would do the same shit if we were in his position. You know what I mean? It's all just like, you know, it's just in his like immediate interest and his strategic interest. Like, you can't pretend like we're like morally like superior, like we wouldn't be doing the same shit. Like,
well, we have done the same. That's the thing.
Yeah, of course. We've done worse. Yeah, we've done a lot worse. That's why I love that Trump one.
World too.
Yeah, the
Trump one.
Yeah, the Trump being like, you think we're so innocent? That shit is fucking gold. I love that shit.
Oh, he said that.
He said that to Bill O'Reilly, because Bill O'Reilly's like, Putin's a killer. You know, because that's the normie con and the dissident right kind of division there. It's like, he's just like, you know, Putin's a killer. Yeah, I guess that's what Lindsey Graham's doing now. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, he's a killer. What was Lindsey Graham? He's talking about assassinating Putin. He's like, somebody needs to take his ass out. His people should take him out.
It takes one guy to be a hero for the whole world. It's like, oh my god,
Marvelification of war again.
That's what I thought when that guy was like the sniping that baseball field with all those Congress people. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking the exact same thing. But I think he makes a good point. I just think we could expand.
Man, the Republicans made a good point.
That's just like, that was just like the most like just slow burn for me response. Just like, just in disbelief that CRK just said that.
You know what? I mean, how many lampposts are in Washington, D.C., you'd figure?
Oh, I'm shutting it down. Shutting it down.
How much rope we need? No, yeah, I mean, yeah, but yeah, I mean, like, you know, yeah, I mean,
I asked this to you before, CRK. Like people, I said this to you once. Like, it's really weird how, with you in particular, how both like very online racists and like
they love me.
Like, yeah, like woke ironists, they both have this thing where you're at least half black. It's like they have this thing where they think you're going to be offended at a rope joke or like, you know, lamppost. Right. It's really weird how like that, like the sort of meme discourse can be turned into sincerity, like when it comes to insulting an enemy. Like, it's really funny. But like the edgy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's I think the discourse around what's going on now, like we were mentioning, one of the most surreal moments I've ever had was like arguing with someone. It may have been on that stream, actually. Like, how is this different or worse or more severe than when coalition forces bombed Fallujah and Baghdad and like went into Iraq and Afghanistan or Syria or Yemen? Like, I think, Scott Greer, he brought up how the Saudis are still warring with people and killing civilians in Yemen and that were funded by America. But it's very funny when they try to like do this thing where, no, it's totally unique, but it's like, how is it unique? Because it's white people, right? Like, that's the immediate discourse that I think like certain very few like leftists are starting. Like, I notice even like on Black Twitter, quoting like whatever Black Twitter is, you know, they're starting to like, they have like a little inkling of, oh, you only care, like, not to say that it's true, but like you only care because it's white people getting killed.
Instead, yeah, I've seen a lot of that.
Yeah. And even like you have some like ridiculous, like there was this congresswoman that I think it was our good friend Bennett posted this, where she said, like, had this tweet thread about how Putin is afraid of the strong black women in the American government.
Putin is like I would invade you know U.S. soil if it wasn't for all of those dispassionate DMV workers.
Like, literally, it was like the strong tired.
Remember? They're tired. Tired. What is the howling mutant waking up today and taking a bottle of melatonin to be able to understand how black women feel every day?
Oh man, that's like literally the sort of matrons of justice in America are the tired by POCs. What would be the woman equivalent? Would be by WOCs, I guess, of mass destruction.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's the real deterrence against Russia.
Oh man, the world's going insane. I have to say. But
I saw there was some thread where it was like a bunch of reporters in Ukraine were like, I can't believe this is happening here, you know, in a like we're not, this isn't Afghanistan, this isn't a third world country, this isn't like an Arab country or whatever, I can't believe it's happening here. And then everybody was like making a thread of like, oh, how this is racist. Was it the Ukrainians were racist or something? Like, I don't know. But which is funny because Ukraine is a third world country, right?
I mean, it's so funny hearing people talk about that and like talking about, I mean, what people, there's a lot of people that want to just straight up just be like, my God, it's sobering to think that just any old normal, fundamentally European country could have something like this happen in it. And it's like,
they think, you know, Ukraine's like Britain or something.
Exactly. And it's like, bring up those life expectancy numbers, Jamie. You know,
they're doing whole country.
It's a fucking nightmare, dude. Come
they're
on.
They're doing crocodile and all that. And yeah, when Trump said shithole countries, he was thinking of Ukraine and all that. Yeah. That's a damn shame.
Flipping a coin, were we gonna do like an exotic Vice documentary about Ukraine this year? Or was it gonna be like, hey, this is just like your gentrified neighborhood that you're living in, and
yeah.
The hipsters of Ukraine. We'll send Sam Hyde to do that other special there.
Oh, there it is.
He did it in Williamsburg. No, I think
Sam Hyde's going to trick Zelensky into doing a documentary with him where he's going to just make him uncomfortable the whole time.
So I hear the guy that's bankrolling you is Jewish. And then Sam Hyde would just have, like, you pan into Sam Hyde's face with a smirk on it. Zelensky himself is Jewish, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's make that clear.
Yeah. Well, which, by, you know, we're doing this thing where we're saying random factoids out of context, whatever. You know
who Zelensky is a, there was this one glowy, the guy, David Rothschild, he had that tweet that, like, literally everyone was lighting him up, where he said that every Jewish synagogue is going to have a statue of Zelensky in the front because he is a hero to Jewish people everywhere, something like that. And it was like, and it was just like, this guy's family literally destroyed Europe at one point.
Holy shit.
Holy fuck. That's what's so memeable about the internet age, is that we have, like, the remnants, the genetic refuse of, like, long lost, well, who knows if they're still in power, but, like, we have this capacity to view history through this, like, modality of fabulation that the internet provides. And now, like, ratioing the descendant of the Rothschilds on Twitter for making a take that can only, like, come about from, like, I don't know, 4chan Paul in, like, 2016. It's like, that's, like, so surreal to me. It's something about it is, like, a fundamental change in how we even view reality nowadays because of that. Like, it's just so, like,
yeah.
And then people bring up their own, like, petty, like, ethnic loyalties and grievances. I think, like, the fact that we can only view things through the lens of our own, like I can't even imagine something like this happening, like when the Arab Spring thing happened, and then the other ones in Eastern Europe, and then when Georgia was invaded by Russia, or then later, like, when they took Crimea. I don't remember it being like, there was cell phones and there was Twitter, but there wasn't, like, that much. It seems that Twitter has molded the minds of, like, people, even if they don't realize it. Even if Twitter is, like, the lowest social media platform, it seems that in terms of its capacity to affect discourse, like, Twitter is where it's at. Like, it's no longer Facebook, it's Twitter. And maybe I'm just saying that because Twitter is, like, my life. So I
so strongly disagree. I think the cutting edge is just straight up just, like, full TikTok, display probably. Boomer posting on Facebook.
Oh, maybe that's always, dude. I was going to say TikTok, but yeah, probably that.
No, TikTok is just fucking CCP spook fucking. That's nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's another funny thing of all this that's going on is there's two things. There's I don't know if we talked about this, but the Richard Spencer having the Ukraine flag and Vaush having the Ukraine flag. Theo, were you the first one to notice that?
No, I got that somewhere else.
Yeah, I think
that
I got
shit
that.
Is gold.
It must have been like what's been a Spencer A-log that, like, then that meme got spread around to everywhere else.
I think I saw it from part.
It must have been some bigger account like Battle Beagle or iHypocrite or something like that, or like Stone Toss. I know the Stone Toss comics, by the way, the one where it's like the multi-panel, like, different sides are with each other now, and at the very end it's just like Ukraine and Russia going, what the fuck is happening?
That one. It's, I mean, oh, I haven't it's, seen that. It's I just want to bizarre, see that. Dude. Like, it's a,
yeah, there's some weird alliances going on. Yeah.
Like, you know, the Stone Toss comic with the tug of war, right?
The tug of war.
Yeah.
But, like, near the end of the panel,
I see it now. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, 10 different people.
There's a rainbow flag with the Nazis.
Again, a great quote. A great quote by our friend Chairman Xi Ping. The future of warfare is going to be determined by which side has the least amount of Nazis on it. So, because now the Russians have a Nazi battalion too. So.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, you're panning for gold on the side of the river. You get that. You dream of finding that fat rock of just your opponent is a Nazi.
But that's the thing, like, the sort of discourse around. I hate this guy so much. But you know that Jason Stanley guy who, like, is a rich kid that has his PhD in philosophy? He wrote like everyone seems to ratio him like periodically. He wrote this Guardian article because this guy wrote the worst book ever on fascism. He wrote a book on fascism, and he had this article in the Guardian arguing that the language of Putin saying he's going to denazify the Ukraine is actually anti-Semitic because Putin is the real Nazis. Yeah. But it's funny because the language around the denazification thing, from what I know from people who are Russian, they tell me that it means many different things in the Russian in the quote unquote Eurasian context, because it's like it basically means like a repulsion against the Western power or whatever. Like, don't quote me on this, but it means it doesn't mean like the Western, like they're going to get rid of, like, I don't know, whoever is labeled a Nazi this week. Like, it's more of like, to them, Nazism represents the quest of a largely Germanic Western power to conquer the Eurasian spirit or whatever. Like, yes. Yeah, it's more nuanced than like people when they hear Nazi in North America.
I think it's touching on like the history of anti-communism through the Cold War.
Pretty much, yes, yes, pretty much.
100%. It's like you start there and you're like, well, it's not quite one-to-one Nazis the way normies are thinking about it. But then all things considered with what we're talking about, it's like, well, yeah, it is. It's just like not the Nazis at that point in that place that we were in.
Like, it's complicated in Russia because there's no like ready-made political category, because they do have a lot of like quote unquote traits of both being, you know, quote unquote global homogenous, but also being based and red pilled. So there's a lot of there is shit.
It's like I don't even know like what level of irony that delivery is.
No, what I mean is that Russia, they do have, like I said, a degree of multiculturalism, and they do have like a more like they have huge social problems, and they have like a very complicated, like the state has a very complicated relationship with the Orthodox Church, like kind of like churches in the West, obviously. But like there is like a lot of people who are Russophiles in the political right. But yet I think that's probably just a meme because people read Alexander Dugin and like even just like fucking journalists talking about Dugin again, like when the Steve Bannon thing happened in 2016. It's like, or sorry, that was with Evola. I'm sorry. But it's like, you know, journalists like talking about fucking Dugin now. Like, it's, you know, it's very surreal. It's like, if you've been like, I remember, I'll tell you this story. I think I told this before. I remember the day my friend Bob, so when I went to grad school, it was my poli-sci master's. My friend Bob is from Tennessee, and he came to our program for some weird happenstance. And I remember one time I was in class, I was with my supervisor. It was literally a postmodern, like post-humanism class. Uh-huh. So it was like very like cutting edge stuff, like, you know, object-oriented ontology, stuff like that. And I remember getting this text. And my friend Bob is like, Gio, I never thought that I would ever hear about Julius Evola on the cover of Time magazine. And I go, what? And then all of a sudden my like, you know, my class just disappeared. And now it was just like, I have to find, you know, what's happening. And it was around the time where, because Steve Bannon mentioned Julius Evola in a speech once, they were like, oh my God, this super Nazi fascist sexist racist that wants to, you know, put women in chains or whatever. Right. That's the spiritual inspiration of Steve Bannon. Ergo, Trump is a Benito Mussolini Evolian Italian fascist. Right. And and I think now with Putin and the relationship that Dugin may or may not exist between him and Dugin, people are making the same takes of like, Dugin is now this Rasputin type of figure. And he is like, but like Dugin in his actual Facebook thing, he said like, it's not the war with the Ukraine. Like, the Ukrainian people are just Russian to him. It's more of like, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know if that's probably a bad thing. But,
based, first of all, just again.
At best, you know, that clip of Dugin, Beyond Woke, shout out to Beyond Woke and Problematic. No, I think like he's saying the war is really with NATO and with like the Anglo-Americans, like obviously. Like, I mean, Dugin says a lot of crazy shit, but he's not saying as much crazy shit with this. I think like it's very interesting.
Well, like, I mean, also shifting a ton of focus on Dugan at this moment is like a few years out of date. I mean, I don't even know how relevant Dugan is to Vladimir Putin and the regime's policy.
He's like Rasputin, bro. He's like in the he's the puppet master.
Like Rasputin,
From what I hear from people, I remember on BTR we had this Ukrainian journalist. Obviously, you know, bias, right? But like, he said that the Russians, they're almost kind of like a postmodern regime in the sense that they'll take anything. And for in 2015. They sort of like appropriated Dugin, but they don't really like Putin nowadays probably doesn't really care about what Dugin says. I think like it's not like for a time it was edgy because like a lot of Western people in the alt-right were reading Dugin. There was like the Millerman controversy in here in Canada. But no, I think Putin is not like in tune. Like he's not reading his website Geopolitica every single morning, being like, "Oh, what is what does Zardugan say today?" It's like, no, it's not. Yeah, like there's certainly elements in the Russian government that are probably sympathetic to Dugan, but like I don't know, Dugan is such a weird polarizing figure in Russia that the nuances of like Western Vox, Atlanticists, New York Times journalists like saying that Dugan is like the Rasputin of Russia is like, it's not a good take. It's
Also, just to be honest, like I'm skeptical of that kind of a narrative anywhere. Right. Like, I wouldn't point to anybody like as a political thinker. I'm skeptical of if anybody tried to make any kind of like effort to be like, you know, if you want to know what's going through the fucking cotton ball and tumbleweed filled head of Joe Biden, then like you need to pay attention to this thought leader. It's like I understand that there can be something to that. It's kind of a simple critique here, but like I think that it's just it's oversimplifying it, it's over individualizing it, it's really especially in this situation with just like a geopolitical situation going on here and just like this huge Baroque web of interests. And you know, I think that Russia's approach in this whole situation is just like a lot more realist like than we're
They've been eating shit for long.
All right, that was part one of our episode. If you'd like to listen to part two, you can find that at patreon.com/fedpost. Thanks for listening.